God's grace be with you today. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today I'd like to talk with you about baptism. We're going to have a baptism at the later service this morning, and I thought this would be a great day for us to refresh ourselves on the good and super news that God has for us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus. Now, this is a great subject for us to get a clear vision and understanding of, because there are a variety of beliefs out there amongst the various denominations on what baptism is. Some, that is one group, would look at it just as a work that you do for God, simply something that you do to obey God's ordinance and command. But they would say nothing happens in it for you. There's no washing away of sins. There's no rebirth. There's no giving of the Holy Spirit. There's no sealing you for the day of redemption in baptism. It's just your work for God, something you do to obey because God told you to do it. It's just you going public with your faith, as they would say, an outward symbol, but with no real inner great things being worked for you. It's your work. Now, the other camp would be where the Lutherans and other denominations fall into, that we believe, yes, it's a work you do for God, you are obeying God's command, but far greater than that, it's a work that God is doing for you, to do great things for you, to give you courage and confidence through all of life, a washing away of sins, a uniting you with Jesus Christ, a promise to you, a sealing in the Holy Spirit for the day of glory that is to come. And so let's take a look today and see what baptism actually is according to the scriptures, to the Bible, because who cares what man thinks of it, right? And how are you ever going to understand what this is by human reason? You can't do it. Why? Because it's a God thing. It's something God gave us to do. We can't just reason our way into it. We've got to look at the Word of God. So let's see, open the Bible and see just plain what God tells us, because He's going to tell us about baptism in His Word. First of all, let's just look about how important this is, baptism. Now, some churches don't even baptize, like the Salvation Army. Do you know that they have such a low view of baptism, they don't even baptize anybody? Let's take a look and see how important it is according to Jesus. This is at his after His resurrection. He's about to go up into the skies, back to the throne of God. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." So this is the very last word Jesus is speaking to His apostles before He goes home. Don't you think that would be maybe the most important word, one of the most important words? And in that list of the top things He wants to tell people, one of them is baptizing. So it's very, very important. But how important? How important really is baptism? For that, let's turn over a few pages to the right. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Now, here we read, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God's with him.' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, or born again, or born from above, can be translated any of those ways, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.'" Now, what is Jesus talking about there in those verses, would you say? You got to be born again to go into the kingdom. You got to be born of water and the Spirit. So water and the Spirit go together. What is He talking about? You tell me.
Baptism.
I mean, what other water is He talking about? Born of the water that you brush your teeth with? No. It's the water and the Spirit. He's talking about baptism. And how important is it? Roger, how important is this? Got to be. Yeah, you can't enter the kingdom unless you're born again of water and the Spirit. So this is super important. If you think about immigration, we've heard a lot about that over the last couple of years. And illegal versus legal immigration and all that kind of stuff. Well, into heaven, let me just tell you, there's no illegal immigration. There is one door, that's Jesus Christ. I needed a passport to get in. Jesus says you got to be born of water and the Spirit. Otherwise, you can't in any wise enter the kingdom. So it sounds very important to me, and he is talking about baptism. There, what other baptism, what other water does a Christian use? There is none other. So why is it important? Let's take a look at this. Is God doing anything for us in our baptisms? Well, let's take a look at Peter, and we're going to turn again in the Bible to Acts chapter 2 in this case. This is Pentecost, and Peter is preaching and bringing people to salvation through the preaching of the word. He says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Wow! How did they respond to such preaching? When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Oh no, guilt! Yes, we did kill the Christ. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do? We're in big trouble," in other words. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So what do we see happens in baptism according to that verse? Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Is there any forgiveness of sins attached to baptism there, would you say? That's just plain what it says. You know, this is not rocket science, what I'm sharing to you today. It is clear, it's crystal in the scriptures if you just read it the way it's written. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. There is a washing. This is great news for you. That God in baptism washes you of your stains, of guilt, of sin that was on you, to bring you out spotless, brand new, whiter than snow. It's amazing, though, not only that, but how many people don't believe that, even Christians, because it doesn't match their denomination's theology. Nothing happens in baptism, they would say. There is no washing away of sins. And I heard a guy once on the radio talking about this, and he came to this verse. He's a very famous guy. He usually preaches great. And he came to repent, be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then he took a little diversion and spent about 5 minutes of his sermon teaching his huge congregation that "for the forgiveness of your sins" cannot possibly mean "for the forgiveness of your sins." And I listened to this really usually great guy, and he took the word "for" and he twisted it for about 5 minutes until he eventually came out and saying the real meaning here is, Peter is saying, "You Jews have already believed, therefore you've already been saved, therefore repent and be baptized and go public with your faith." Does that make sense to you? You've already believed, you're already justified, you're already saved, therefore repent. Who says that? This is a mixed up order. But he had to do it because he had to match his denomination's theology. Good word for us too. If we ever get a word in the scriptures that does not match our theology, which one should we throw out? Our own theology, our own denomination's theology, and grab onto the word of God instead. What do we want to do in this case? Just repeat the words verbatim. Repent, be baptized in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and we're done. We've got our theology. Very simple. Not rocket science. Very clear. There is a washing here, and that's great news for you. That's super news for you. And Paul, not only Peter, but Paul backs this up. When he was getting converted, we read that one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing by me, he said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And in that very hour, I received my sight and saw him. And he said, "The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the just one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you've seen and heard." Verse 16, and now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Now, based on that verse, would you say there's any washing away of sins in baptism? Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins. How do you miss this? How can you possibly miss it? It is so clear. There is a washing away of sins in baptism. But note, it's not without faith. As Luther said, apart from faith, baptism's of no use. It's of no good to you because we're justified by faith. Notice what it said. Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. So calling on the name of Jesus Christ is faith. So that's what we need to have to be saved. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But notice, rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. There is a work that God is doing for us in baptism, namely washing you. In other words, he's taking what Christ did on the cross long ago to save you, that victory, that salvation, and he's bringing it to us personally, that we might be saved. He does that by the preaching of the gospel. We hear and believe and are saved. And he's bringing it to us in baptism. That's what it says. Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins. Luther said, just by allowing the water to be poured over you, you don't receive or retain baptism in such a manner that it does you any good. But it becomes beneficial to you if you accept it as God's command and ordinance, so that baptized in God's name, you may receive in the water the promised salvation. And so faith must receive it. Uh-oh, but wait, did you just hear Luther say promised salvation? Say the word salvation. Salvation. Yeah, he actually said that word. Is there really a saving work of God in these waters? Well, does God actually save through water? I heard a guy on the radio once some years ago, and usually he's really good too. But in this case, he was like, I tell you, no one has ever been saved through water. That's nowhere in the Bible. Never seen anywhere in the sacred scriptures. No one has ever been saved through water. And I'm reading, I'm thinking, does this guy read the same Bible as I read? Think about this. Naaman the Syrian. Remember this guy, the commander? Leprosy. He goes to, I think it's Elisha, and go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. He went into the water, came out saved. His disease was gone. Another guy would be Jonah. Remember this guy? Was he saved through water? Oh, man, he was. Down to the depths and up again. The Old Testament priests, think about them in Exodus 30. This is in the temple. Now, you try to approach God without washing with water? Big trouble. Big trouble. When they go into the tent, God says, the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. You as a priest try to go into the temple to do your duties and you don't wash with water, God's going to kill you. You can't enter unless you're washed. Sounds like Jesus in John chapter 3. You have Israel. They were saved through the Red Sea. Out, saved through water. In fact, Paul even uses the word baptize in 1 Corinthians 10 referring to that event. And maybe the biggest one in the Bible would be, come on, Noah. And we're all on that ark, at least in the loins of our great ancestor Noah. But here, let's read what Peter says about it in 1 Peter 3. Because again, we want to get our theology from the Bible, not from our own screwy minds. It says here, God's patience waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were saved through water. So there, I see it right there. Saved through water is in the Bible. But then he goes on, next verse, he says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, etc. So Peter relates the worldwide cataclysmic flood event and Noah being saved through it. He says that was really foretelling of a greater washing and saving through water. Namely, baptism. And he just says it. Let's just repeat the words back verbatim of Peter. He says, baptism now saves you. Can you do that? Baptism now saves you. All right, I've repeated the words of Scripture verbatim. I've arrived at my theology. That's really all we got to do with any doctrine. Just repeat what the Bible says Don't change the words. Don't twist the words. Don't take a 10-minute excursus. Is that the right word? Running around trying to twist it and make it fit what you believe. Just accept what God says, and you've arrived at the right conclusion. And so that's a good word for us, because there's saving work going on in baptism. Like Jeff read a few moments ago in the Old Testament promise in Ezekiel, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from your idols I'll cleanse you. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey all my rules. So these are works that God promised to do in a future time, again, with water. All right. So in the waters of baptism, also, are we reborn? Is that a born-again experience? Is that a rebirth? You often hear people say, you know, you believe and you're born again, and that's true. But when Jesus refers to it, he says, what does born again mean? Says Nicodemus. Jesus says, this is what I mean by it. You got to be born of water and the Spirit. That's what he says is born again. And so there's a rebirth in it. Now, a lot of people are going to go, no way. You're teaching against faith, for we're saved through faith alone in Christ, not by our works. Baptism is a work, therefore you're not saved by it because it's a work. You know what we would answer to that? That's true. We're not saved by our works. We're saved through faith in Christ alone. Faith alone in Christ, not by our works. And yet, whose work is this? Baptism. Is it our work or God's? Because we're always saved by God's works. Amen? Let's take a look and look at baptism. And you answer me here. This is your little quiz. Ready? You ready for a quiz? We're going to look at Titus. You tell me who saves us and who is active in baptism. Is it really you or is it God? Famous verse. I always love this one. For we ourselves were once foolish, says Paul, disobedient, led astray. We were slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. So who's the subject of that verb? God. He's doing the saving. Not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, not by our works, right? But in virtue of his own mercy, this is how he saves us, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that we might be justified by grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life, the saying is sure. So God saves us, and that's God working. But who's active, which of the Godhead also is active in the washing? Washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. So who's the active one there? Ron, who's the active one? The Holy Spirit is active in those waters to do something for us. And it's the washing, lutron in the Greek is the word, a washing, which also can be translated a bath. How many baths do we take as Christians? Now, as humans, hopefully a lot of them. You know, you don't want to stink this morning. But as Christians, one bath. There's only one time we ever do this. And a washing of regeneration. What's that mean? Regenerate. That's pollen, again, genesia in the Greek, which means again, birth. Genesia, genesis, in the beginning, etc. It's a bath of rebirth is the way you can translate it. A washing, regenerating in the Holy Spirit. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, born again, he can't enter the kingdom. So it's God's the active one and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is that what the Bible's saying? It's not our deeds, it's his deeds. God's working, the Holy Spirit's working. Is Jesus working in baptism? Well, let's take a look over here at Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Say water. Once again, we've got the word water appearing, don't we? Why didn't he just say washing with the word? Well, he said water with the word. There's two things going on here. It's the word that cleanses you, but through water. God chooses to do it, just like with the Old Testament priests. Don't approach me unless you wash, he says. And then he says, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. In other words, without any sin, without any stains, totally washed, no more sins, and that she might be holy and without blemish. So we've got God and the Holy Spirit working. Who's the active agent here? Jesus, the husband of the church, cleanses his bride. And again, how? By the washing of water with the word. And a lot of people are going to argue against that, and they're going to say, water can't save you. Water can't save you. You know what we would say as Lutheran Christians? You're right. Water can't save you. Plain water does nothing. And it's not the water to which we're looking when we baptize anybody. But it's the word of God in and with the water. You're cleansed by the washing of water with the word. The word is what cleanses. The word is what always saves you. The word of the gospel, you hearing it and believing it, is what saves you. The word always accomplishes what God sends it to do and prospers in the thing for which he sent it to accomplish. And the word is a promise. Is there a promise to you in baptism, Joanne? Is there a promise?
Yes.
Yeah, there is. Go back to that verse, Peter, at Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. Is there a promise given to us in baptism? Yes, that is a word of God which will not fail. God does not recall his promises or revoke his gifts. He's promised us something here. And one of the things he promises us, along with making us whiter than snow, is he says, I give you new life in me. Paul says in Romans 6, don't you know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So we got a young man we're going to baptize the later service today. What am I going to do with him? I'm going to bury this boy. It's true. But with Christ in his death, and also he's going to be raised with Christ, it says, to a new life. Do you want a new life? That's what God gives you in baptism, and we live it out every day. As Luther says, we daily die to our sins, daily drown the old nature, that evil part of ourselves, and daily rise with the new nature as a new man, a strong new individual whom God has made an heir of the kingdom, a son of light. This is who you rise up out of the waters to be, and we want to do that daily. So you have, through baptism, new life, not only here in this world and daily, but also in the worlds to come, promised you. And in baptism, God says, Galatians 3, that he puts Christ onto us. Paul says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's just what it says. So if you've been baptized, you've put him on you. You have his person and his righteousness on you and even in you. His salvation keeps you. And he says, I give you my own Holy Spirit. For we read there again in Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And, say and, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's no better gift than that, friends. You got God's Spirit, you got everything. Everything. And he gives you his Spirit. Why? For 1,000 reasons, but to seal you. You're stamped and sealed for the day of redemption. He is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory, so that you are destined for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And so it's just so clear. We'll conclude here, but we could go on. But these are just the straight, clear, crystal passages of the scriptures, God wants you to have courage. God wants you to have confidence and have a new life every day in Him. And let's just hear these words once more, strung together in brief, straight out of scripture about baptism for our encouragement. Jesus says, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Peter says, "Baptism now saves you." Paul, "Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." That was his conversion. Peter again, "Be baptized and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Paul in Titus says, "God saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit." Paul in Ephesians 5 says, "Christ loved the church and cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." And Mark says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned." That's God's word on it. And so God does great things for you, friends. Yes, it's something we do for God. We are obeying him. We are publicly professing Jesus Christ. But far greater than that, it's God himself coming down to bring to you the victory that Christ won for us at the cross of our salvation, and to immerse you in that, to connect you to it, that it be yours personally, and that forever, to wash you, to give you the Spirit, to promise you the kingdom, and to say, "I'll be your father, and you shall be my son." Why does he do all these things? This is maybe the best. Because he loves you. He loves you. He wants you to be with him, and he to be with you, and that into eternity with great joy. And so let's rejoice in the great gifts that God has given to you in his waters. Amen.